Hi, and welcome to Journeyers Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Clark, and I'll bring you guests who have stories and tools to share with you discussing resilience, authenticity, and the freedom that those things brought them. Let's get started. Hey guys, just a quick note before we get started. Lucy and I had a ton of fun recording this, and it ended up being enough for two episodes. So both of those are out. This is part one. Don't forget to catch the next one. Enjoy the laughter, fun, and a little bit of adult language thrown in there. All right.
Hi guys, I am here in the She Shed today with Lucy Scher. I'm super excited. You're gonna love her. She's amazing and hysterical and just all the things, but has such cool stuff to say about all the stuff we always talk about here. So, yeah, I think you're going to find her story really interesting, but more than that, I think you're going to find her just super fascinating. So she invited me over here to podcast at her place, and she has a she shed, so you don't say no to that. So here we are.
Obviously.
In this great she shed, enjoying our bubbly water and coffee and getting ready to just jam out with you guys. So, Lucy, how would you identify or describe yourself? Like, I just kind of introduced you and described you in ways that make sense to me. But how would you introduce yourself?
Well, hi, everybody. I'm sitting over here blushing. I'm blushing in the she shed. And Susan and I, we met one day really surreptitiously, and it has been just a great friendship ever since, because I think we really, like, you know, hit off some of the fun things in each other in a really fun way. So I guess I would describe myself as someone who has been, I'm a pretty funny, pretty gregarious, irreverent, but also like pretty fiercely and passionately intentional about a lot of the things in my life. Yeah. And I will say that I was not always that way. So I've been through a pretty serious illness. I was diagnosed with cancer almost 4 years ago now. Yeah. And I'm fine now, which is great. Knock wood. So I was diagnosed with cancer. It was stage 3 breast cancer. And that meant going through more than a year, really, of surgeries and chemo and radiation and more surgeries and hospitalizations and just all kinds of stuff. And amazingly, like, I walked away, because I've got a great husband, and I've got 2 little kids and a dog and 2 guinea pigs and a fish. Okay, so now you know me. Anyway.
And a fish.
And a fish. The fish is very important and often gets left out. So I feel like it is really easy in life to just be kind of going through the motions. You get caught up on the hamster wheel of life, right? And you're just kind of doing what you need to do to get through, especially when you have kids and you've been married for a while and you've been in your career for a while and you're really just kind of living life. You're not thriving necessarily, and you're not unhappy, but I want to say you're kind of not really present in your life as much as you want to be. You think a lot about the future, maybe, or you think a lot about the past. And I hope this isn't true for everyone, but I know this is true for me. Like, I was not always appreciative of what was happening in the present. And I have these 2 awesome kids and an awesome husband and all these things. And like, I was taking it for granted. Then you get diagnosed with cancer and you're like, crap. And everything changes. And I will say that I walked away from that experience. It certainly is life-changing to confront your own mortality. But I walked away from my cancer after all of the nonsense and garbage and feeling bad and everything with just an overwhelming sense of gratitude for, still being alive, because some of my sisters that I was in treatment with are not. And B, oh man, now I'm going to cry. Yeah. You cannot make me cry in the she shed.
There are no tears in the she shed.
No. Anyway, but no, just I'm alive and I have my wonderful, healthy family and like, and I realized going through this process, how many people I have in my life who are truly like loving and giving and wonderful. And it just gave me an overwhelming sense of gratitude for everything that was good.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
So then it's like, well, you gotta stop taking that shit for granted. Hello. This is a really long answer.
No, it's a great answer. I love it.
But so you kind of come out with something like that, at least if you're me, and you start by like immediately catapulting yourself into all of the things because you have to do everything. You're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to leave a positive impact on this world? And how am I going to move the needle on the things that really matter to me? And how am I going to show my kids that I love them so much every single day? And even though I still totally yell at them all the time. I'm like, who doesn't?
Yeah, I think that's called parenting.
Right. It's an important skill. Anyway, but yeah, so I kind of launched into all of the things.
No.
It's been amazing. And now I'm trying to focus a little bit more. But it's been really great to have that renewed perspective.
Yeah. So a couple things. One, it feels to me, and I don't know these women that you went through treatment and all these things with that are not here with us today, but it feels to me like you're honoring them well by living fully.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
So,
I mean, this girl, Melissa, you would have loved her.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. She was hilarious and wonderful, and she has two little boys, and, you know, I bitch a lot. Don't get me wrong, I bitch a lot about all my, like, oh, my complications and my lymphedema and this and that. And one day my husband turns to me, because I was complaining after all my gratitude and all of this, right? Like, it's not all sunshine and rainbows over here, people. I was complaining, and I'm like, why do I get every single freaking complication you can possibly get coming out of breast cancer? And he's like, it's called not dying of breast cancer, dummy. I'm like, valid point.
there it is, right?
Like, so I'm like, I'm yelling on your podcast.
No, you're okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. No, wait. All volumes are welcome here.
Lovely. Lovely. I feel so safe.
You are. So I think anybody meeting you, whether or not they knew any of your story, like your gratitude and appreciation for life and just like, wow, like just this energy, like this really contagious energy,
Thank you.
I think is really apparent right away. And, so yeah, like if you don't know Lucy in real life, you need to like make that happen. Cause...
Make it happen, guys. Let's connect IRL.
Exactly. But I'd love to hear what of your story before you had cancer grew some of that resilience in you, because that's something that obviously being thrown into a highly potentially traumatic event or life circumstance, right, will bring that out of, it has to, right? Like it forces it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also kind of a muscle that we grow.
Mm. Totally true.
And so that's like the sort of like, you have to grow it really fast now, but what did that look like for you before? And how does that look different for you now? Like, when something was thrown at you before, how did you feel like you weren't resilient at all? Did you feel like I was pretty resilient girl from day one? Like, what does that feel like?
Dude, no. Okay. No. I have to actually, so I was, I will say that I was not the happiest kid growing up. And I, like, there's mental illness in my family, and I also suffer from mental illness. Although I wasn't, like, diagnosed on meds or anything as a kid, but I was, like, kind of cynical and gloomy and just down a lot and very negative. And I will say that I did not grow up in an environment that was super, I mean, my parents were lovely and awesome, but not necessarily like like, let's focus on our gratitude. And I mean, like, that is so fucking Pollyanna. I'm sorry. but and I did not grow up in a religious home either, which I feel like sometimes people equate that with religion. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I have to give my husband a lot of props.
Yeah.
Because he has... So first of all, I was like, I'm never getting married and I'm never having kids and da-da-da-da. And then I met him and, like, his mother died earlier in the year I met him. I never met her, which is sad. Mm-hmm. He was going through some tough stuff because of that, obviously. But he's a person of faith, which I'm not really. Although I go to church, I sing in my church choir because, you know what? Making music is joyful. Mm-hmm. So, like, suck it all up. And fortunately, I go to a church that's open enough to be like, cool, come sing with us.
That's awesome.
They don't judge.
we do a lot with music. Like, yeah.
It's such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so my husband very much had like a very positive and loving sort of attitude. And, like, an attitude of gratitude. And I could not believe, honestly, that he, I was not like that. I wasn't. It's not that I wasn't a bad person, but I was kind of just like, you know, early 20s, work hard, play hard, like, whatever. Not really focusing on my values or even really thinking about what they were at that time. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I got together with my husband, and I have to say that we both, I think, have really grown together. We got married when I was in my late 20s, and he was in his early 30s. And, you know, I have to say, like, being with him made me want to have kids, and having kids made me appreciate so much more of the things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, he, I think, was raised very much by his mother. She was a huge impact in his life, and of having that very grateful and loving sort of attitude to the world. And the idea of looking for how he can give always, whether it's to the world or to the people he loves or whatever. And so I kind of like, I'm not like trying to give my power away to a man right now, y'all, because that is not cool. But my husband is not just any man. He's awesome. And so I sort of, like, grew in that capacity by being with him. It made me want to be a better woman. And so then when we were relatively newly married and we had our daughter who was almost 2 and a newborn, he was diagnosed with cancer. My husband was. And I remember he sat me down. So we're like the cancer power couple. Can we just take a moment to laugh about that?
Seriously.
He's fine now too, by the way.
Okay.
But I remember he sat me down and, like, I had been just shitty to him because I was stressed and we had a newborn and we brought our newborn home and the same day we got like a foot of water in our basement and like just everything was just shitty and so hard and like, except that it wasn't because it was amazing. We had all the things that you could ever possibly dream of. And I remember my husband sat me down at the stupid freaking kitchen island in our little small kitchen in Chicago. And he's like, I need to talk to you about something. And I looked at him and tears filled my eyes and just started racing down my face because I'm like, this is literally what I said like a child. I said, is something bad happening? Fucking crying in the she shed, Susan. This was not part of the plan. Anyway, I was like, is something bad happening? And yes, it was because he had cancer, but he's fine now. And everything's good. But that was a really seminal event in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And we started really saying, let's take a strong look at what we value, what we care about, and the kind of lives that we want to live. Mm. And so that was one of the reasons that we moved out of Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Because we were like, you know, we're both from a smaller town. We're from the same town, Central Illinois. We didn't know each other as kids, though. But we both are from a smaller, like, college town. And we were living in Chicago. And our kids were, like, fully in the rat race. You know what I'm saying? My kids had road rage. It was hilarious. It's possible that I wasn't a great example.
What?
I know, right?
No.
But so, anyway, so we were like, you know what? Let's be really intentional about what we want to do, how we want to live our lives, and the life that we want our children to have. Mm-hmm. And that kind of started us on this path. We were going to move back to Champaign-Urbana, but that didn't end up working out. So we ended up moving to Grand Rapids because there was a spreadsheet. Because, of course, there was a spreadsheet all of the information about all the different, like, you know, library funding and school districts and this and that and growth and median home price and whatever. But Grand Rapids checked a lot of the boxes. Mm. And it was close to nature, which we love, and close to my twin sister. Okay, close and without actually being in the Detroit metro area, which we didn't want to do. So we're like, okay, yeah, we can make this work. So that's awesome. And then we move here and everything's great and everything. And we go back to taking life for granted again, you guys.
Oh, yeah. Ah!
Like, I mean, a little bit, right? Yeah. Like, things are good, but still, it's hard. Like, life's hard and you get stressed and whatever. And then I get diagnosed with cancer. And then all of the crazy happens.
Yeah.
And my poor husband, I think he is still trying to catch up with me. Because I emerged from this cancer as, like, this woman on a mission to, like, do all of the things and make the world a better place and show my children that we all have a role to play in doing that.
Uh-huh.
And making sure that, like, my face lights up when my kids walk into a room and that, like, they get to have the experiences that they want to have, and trying to be appreciative of my husband, even though I'm a terrible human being. And sometimes he is, like, the last person who gets the attention, but that's kind of how it goes sometimes.
Terrible human being doesn't get to be said in the same sentence as you.
Okay, fine.
Unless the word is in there as well.
Yeah. Anyway, I told you I'm irreverent and I don't always think carefully before I speak. No filter.
But yeah, so.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it did. So one, like, you're allowed to cry even in the she shed because we feel all the feelings, because that's such an important part of growth.
Because otherwise you're not really living.
Right. Well, yeah, because the fact of the matter is life isn't always awesome, despite what the Lego movie would have you believe. And you have to be able to sit with those things and you have to be able to process those things, but you can't do either of those things if you don't acknowledge them.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is true.
You can't grow if you're glossing over the hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. So first of all, there's that. Secondly, like,
truth,
universe was like, hey, wake up, right? Like, sometimes we need that.
I know.
Sometimes we get it. But I don't say that in a way to go like, oh, well, that's why this happened to you or in your life, right? Because I'm not sure that I fully buy in on that either. I think these things can be really great wake-up calls, like really traumatic or heavy events.
Absolutely.
But I think I have a little more trust in the inherent goodness of what's going on in the world to believe maybe that, yeah, something good can come of it and there can mm-hmm. be a benefit, but that's not necessarily why it happened.
Right. No, I'm a big believer in focusing on the silver lining. Right? Like, yeah. Silver linings. Like, I don't know. I have a really cool haircut now.
Truth.
Exactly. Yeah, my friend Matt Rampey is, I'm going to totally plug him if that's okay.
Yeah.
He is a life coach. In addition to being like a CPA and somebody I geek out with.
Yeah.
Because I'm also a CPA.
Because all things sort numbers of are your
CPA
world.
Financial person. And so that's how I originally know Matt. But I know Matt also because he is a life coach that he and I have just kind of sat down and talked through all of this stuff. And he's been through a similar sort of, you know, life-changing sort of, oh, I need to really think about how I'm living my life moment. And he has a great term for this. He calls it post-traumatic growth.
Yes.
And it's like, it so hits the nail on the head. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I love that term.
So I'm stealing it.
Yes. Well, and thank you for giving him credit for it, because I was like, Lucy said that somebody said this and I can't remember who it is.
Yeah.
I mean, totally have stolen that phrase.
Good. Yeah. I don't know where he got it, but I'm going to go ahead and say he made it up in his big, beautiful brain.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's real. Like, but also as real as that, not everybody does it.
No.
Right.
No.
Like, for some people it's a shutdown, not a growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's resilience, right? Mm-hmm. Like, growing out of that is part of showing your resilience, having mm-hmm. it, like, and if you're not resilient when you go through something like that, and if you didn't gain it through that process, then you just shut down mm-hmm. and you don't do the things and you don't enjoy the life and you don't, you continue to take those things for granted, or just be, instead of being grateful for what you have now, you're really stuck on the things that you don't have now, or mm-hmm. that you never had, or the things that you did and now you've lost, or whatever right. that is. Yeah. So, gratitude is a huge part of that.
Yeah. It's like, you know, what is it? Momastery, who wrote that article?
Oh, Momastery, about Glennon.
The Perspectacles.
Oh, yes. Is that her? Oh, Glennon. We love Glennon.
I know. I'm like, the Perspectacles are so good.
Yeah. 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 There's so much Glennon that that woman says. Whew. But yeah, Perspectacles. And, you know, and she just talks about life is really beautiful, right? Like, it's beautiful and it's brutal.
Right. And it would be less beautiful if it was not also brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
Although there is a certain amount of brutality that I think we as a world could all do without.
Right. Yeah. Let's keep that in check a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because if everything is awesome, by definition, nothing's awesome. Right. Yeah. Because awesome speaks to, it stands apart.
It inspires awe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And so you can have gratitude for everything and appreciate everything without making everything so special that's nothing special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel a soapbox coming on.
Not the soapbox.
You know, and this is one of the issues I have with, sorry, we're going to go down this rabbit hole, but like, this is one of the issues I have with like, medals, right? Everyone gets a medal. Everyone gets a trophy. Okay. So I get the certificate of completion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Absolutely.
Yes, you did this. But if we're going to hand out medals and trophies, let's have them mean something. Like, we don't have to hand them out, but if we are going to do it, then let's make them mean something.
My kid got a trophy for finishing kindergarten. Okay.
Right?
She still has it. I'm like, can we get rid of this, please?
This means nothing. Like,
I'm a terrible person.
No, I call them medals of mediocrity. Like, hey, you showed up.
It does kind of inspire, like, not making an effort, because even if you make an effort, everybody else gets the same thing you do. So what's the point?
Right. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah. But anywho, back on track here. So I think you've really kind of talked about it, but like, how does that resilience and the gratitude that you have for life, how does that tie into being your authentic self? Or how does that post-traumatic growth tie into your authenticity?
Well, I have to say that part of it is realizing that, I think I even say this on my website. It's like, my like very business person-y sort of website. I say things like, life's too short not to live with a full and open heart, yes. Right? And that means being who you are and accepting the fact that not everybody's going to love you, yes. But the people who do are going to, you're both going to benefit and spark so much more in each other than you otherwise would just by being yourself. And by being yourself, you give other people the freedom and the safety to be themselves.
That's it.
Bingo,
love that.
Girl. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
If I'm the freak on a leash all the time, even though I'm a business person, like, other people can be that way too. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to stop hiding who we are by some sort of like mask. Nobody wants to work with someone or be with someone who is behind a mask all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's like the freaking medal of mediocrity.
Yeah.
It's like nobody really gets to be themselves then.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the point?
Right.
Like, if we're not being like fiercely and wonderfully ourselves in our lives, like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I love that.
I'm yelling.
No, yell.
I cannot not yell.
No, yell. It's important. It needs to be. We need to be like on rooftops screaming that, though, truly.
Yeah.
And like, you know, So one of my, one of the quotes or ideas that I love is, you know, you're going to be too much for some people. They aren't your people.
Preach.
Right? And like, yeah. And like, to me, the other side of that, the beautiful side of that is the people that are your people, though. Oh,
dude,
that is magic.
So good.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
It is. Like, oh, and when you get in that space and you're around somebody and you can just like breathe and be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like you do. You start creating amazing things, and you, when, to your point, when you are free to be yourself, the people around you feel open and safe to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so things that wouldn't otherwise come up, things that you couldn't talk about, or ideas that would never be born, mm-hmm. because they were never spoken,
yeah.
right? Oh, there's so much magic in that.
Like, there is.
I talk about that all the time, right? Like, yeah, no is important. Like, we have to set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But saying yes to that, what you want, saying yes to what you want is where the magic is.
Yeah.
Like, because if I say no all day,
mm-hmm.
if I just keep setting up boundaries, like, I'm going to have some really clear boundaries. I'm going to have a big pile of nothing in front of me. But if I set those boundaries and I'm saying yes to that, what I, that which I do want.
Well, that's the thing.
Then
that's
I have
set
these
the
boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah, because every yes is a no, right? When
right.
I say yes to the next 90 minutes I'm spending with you, that means for the next 90 minutes I'm not doing X, Y, or Z.
Right.
I'm not doing those other things, right?
We call that opportunity costs. But it's a very real thing, absolutely. And like, so you have to really be tuned in to who you are authentically,
right.
as a person, to give yourself the ability to say, okay, I know what I want to do. I know this is aligned with my values. So I have to say no to this so that I can say no, yes to this other thing that I really want to do.
Right.
Yeah, that's something that I'm working on now. Because,
yeah.
you know, I was like, I want to do all of the things. And now I'm like, okay, I can't do all of the things, but I'm going to focus on these things, and these are going to be my babies.
Right.
So,
well, and that's so freeing, too, right? When you're
totally.
Like, I don't have to say yes to all of the things.
Dude,
I can just say yes
cannot.
To the things that I actually want.
Yeah, and even sometimes you just have to adjust, right? Like,
yeah.
Last couple of weeks in my life were a little bit crazy. And so I was supposed to table at Progressives in the Park for a cause that I really, really believe in, which is, it's an education advocacy group that I help lead. And, I had to say, I emailed my friend who organizes the event, and I had to say to her, I need to let a few things graciously fall off my plate because I can't do it all this
mm-hmm.
week. And she was totally cool, and it was fine, and nothing bad happened.
Yeah. You know what?
And like,
we're
hopefully
still
we can still advocate for public education. and you know, I think it's all good. I didn't go. I ran into my friend Rachel Hood later, like the next day or whatever. And she's a state rep here, and
yeah.
I'm sure you know her. And I was like, Rachel, I'm sorry I didn't make it to Progressives in the Park. And she looked at me, she's like, well, you're not a progressive now. I was like, that's it. Because she knows
yeah.
you got to say no to some things
right.
to say yes to other things.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That's, I love that. Yeah. Well, and I love that every time I talk to you, you have something else that you were like, oh, I was at this thing the other night. I'm like, okay, first of all, why do I not know about all these things? And secondly, like, there's such, like, you do exactly what you're talking about. Like, you see a thing that you care about and
mm-hmm.
you go out and you do it.
Yeah.
And you find your way to be involved in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I try. But I have to pick and choose. And, like, my daughter, I mean, I totally got the falling off my plate thing from my daughter.
Mm.
Because she's almost 11 now, starting sixth grade. And, like, children get this stuff, like, get this, like, freedom, authenticity, doing what you want to do, not what you should do. Like,
right.
should?
Yeah.
What?
Blah.
Should? I should brush my teeth. I'm not gonna. And I'm going to tell you I didn't. It's going to be fine. No, but I remember not long ago, I said to my daughter, I'm like, my daughter asked me, she's like, her name's Jane. She's awesome. She asked me, Mom, what's the matter? You seem like really down, really stressed, whatever. She's very sensitive and like caring, which is so sweet. I wish I could take credit for that, but I don't think I can. And I was like, oh, honey, I'm sorry. I'm just really stressed. I have too much on my plate. And she's like, well, why don't you just let some of it fall off of your plate then? And I was like, bingo. I was like, out of the mouth of the babes, yeah. Babes. So, just so brilliant. So every time I get too busy, first of all, I remember, okay, my daughter asked me to let some stuff fall off my plate, means I need to put her on a bigger portion of my plate probably. Right. And B, like, that's super, B, whatever.
Yeah. One,
that's
two,
that's super good advice. Three, so I just kind of keep that in the back of my head all the time. Like, if you feel like you've got too much going on, just let a little bit fall off your plate. It's okay. She's like, preferably the broccoli.
Right? Yeah, right? Like if we can keep the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts falling off.
Oh,
like,
my God. And that's why I love, that's why I love them. Anyway, so it's a good thing to remember.
It is.
Don't shoot yourself to death.
No. And it's easy to do.
Totally.
Very easy to do.
We have let societal expectations take control of our lives.
Yeah, well,
like, in so many ways, you guys. Like, stop the insanity. I have worked with a lot of people who have lives that they just can't keep up with.
Uh-huh.
And either from a time perspective or a money perspective or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm a financial planner, I feel like I should say, because I'm like, I'm in finance, but I'm like, I don't want to be douchey and, you know, act like I'm marketing, because I'm not marketing. But I'm a financial planner, so I really get to know my clients really pretty intimately, I like to think, but not in a creepy way. But I like to work with people who, you know, yes, we laugh half for, you know, the majority of our meetings, and like, sometimes we cry, and sometimes the F-bombs fly pretty hard, and that's
never
awesome.
Either of us ever.
Never, ever. We would never do that. But, you know, some people say things to me like, I wish I could just get, like, injured or sick or just not a lot injured, mm-hmm. not a lot sick, but just a little bit just so I could get a break from my life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, as someone who's kind of been there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know you didn't want my level of sick.
Right.
But I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, you have the power to change your life and make it different from what it
is.
You can do that. You just have to let people. I mean, now I sound like freaking Tony Robbins. But you just have to let go of what other people want from you.
Yeah.
And say, fuck it. It's my life. Sorry. You guys can't see my gestures.
You don't get to see all.
No, but then you get to remake your life. You get to say no to some things so you can say yes to the things that really matter to you.
Yeah. Well,
but a lot of these people are not in touch with what really matters to them yet. So it's kind of hard to go there.
Right. Well, because if you don't know, if you're not conscious of who you are at your core, mm-hmm. and if you aren't aligned with who you are, because those are two separate things. You can fully know
totally.
Who you are at your core and still not act out of alignment with that.
Absolutely.
So when you're fully aware and conscious of who you are at your core and you're acting out of alignment with that, first of all, like, everything makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm. Like, things kind of fall into place.
They do.
I feel like when you start doing that.
Yes.
And I'm not like, you know, the alchemist over here. I'm not going to ask anybody to manifest anything, but I do feel like pathways start to open for you and people right. start to say, oh yes, let me help you with that. And things like that. When you are acting in alignment with yourself.
Yeah.
It, you know, so forgive me for the woo, but I feel like there's a definite,
I
know you're about to, sorry, but there's definitely something to that. Oh, we've angered the microphone.
We have.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just cool. I have two friends who did a big consulting project this past year. And I don't know if I can name any names, so I'm not going to, but like, these are both brilliant and beautiful and amazing women mm-hmm. who are just so cool and so smart and so with it. Right.
Yeah.
And they designed this project totally on their own terms. They named everything. Right. And then at the last minute, something needed to be done and they found themselves working, like full-time for the last 2 weeks of summer when their kids needed, like, the last 2 weeks of their kids' summer break.
Right.
And they're like, this was not the dream. Like, this was not the plan. This is not what we wanted. And we didn't plan it this way. So this was not supposed to be part of the part of the situation, but it's cool because I'm like, all right, you realize that though. Mm-hmm. And now you're making adjustments for future reference or going forward. So that's really good. But I'm like, I like it when I hear people saying, okay, this doesn't work for me because like that is not aligned with what I want. Like, yes, I want to work. Yes, I want to do exciting projects, but no, I don't want to be away from my kids for the last 2 weeks of their summer vacation.
Right.
So that's good.
Yeah, it is. Well, and that's about balance, right? Like when you know what you want, it's much easier to find that balance and create that balance, because if this isn't in alignment with what I am or who I know, what I know to be true of myself, then I'm going to let it go to pull things back in. If I don't know, or if I know but I don't care about who I am at my core, if I'm not aware of that, then how do I know what to let go and what to hold to?
Right? I don't know. It's when you let this, that's when you start letting other people make decisions.
Exactly. That's the should. Well,
been there, done that.
Yeah, that's letting expectations of others rule your life. And, you know, it's easy to do, because guess what you don't have to do that? Figure out who you are.
Because
figuring out who you are isn't all rainbows and butterflies.
No. Really?
I know. Do you know there's some, like, not really fun stuff in there?
Yeah, I know. I heard that.
And then you have to, like, deal with that. And you have to, like, acknowledge that, like, all the problems weren't necessarily about everybody else.
That's
maybe
ridiculous.
Maybe had something to do with you. I know. Ugh.
That sounds unpleasant. I think I'll drink instead.
Said 99.9% of America.
No.
Yeah, but when you know that, when you know what you want, it's really easy to say no to the things that don't match up with that. And it's really easy to say, like, this is what I want for my life, for not just me, but for the people I care about. Mm-hmm. So my kids, having me present with them for this time is important. So you know what? Like, yeah, we still got to pay the bills, so we're going to do the things we need to do to pay the bills, but, like, we're going to shift a little bit, and maybe we pay a little less this month, and we pay a little more next month when we can dig fully in, whatever that looks like. There's just that, but you have to create that balance, and, like, to your point about people saying, like, oh, I just wish I could get hurt or sick or, you know, whoa, like, when you're in that space.
Oh, but I feel like we've all been in that space.
Oh, and we have.
Though.
Yeah.
Like, what would have to happen for me to just get a free pass?
Right. Like,
you know, like, if you have cancer, you get a pass and everything. It's so great. Except, not really.
Yeah, except you have to do the whole cancer thing.
Oh, whatever.
But one, it's easy to get into that space, right? But two, if you're in that space, like, wake up. And you know what? Take a freaking day. Like, odds are good that if you take a day, the world is still going to be spinning when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if you are so important to whatever it is that you're doing that it completely can't function even for a day without you, like, what is going on? Like, start delegating, man.
and ask for a raise.
Yes, exactly. Also, you should be making close to $1 billion a year. Like, if what you do is that important that it cannot function without you,
right?
The world just can't go on.
Seriously.
If you didn't show up. Like, but be able to show up for the things you want.
Yes.
Like, showing up's important. Be able to show up for your people. Be able to show up for yourself. And, like, follow me, you know, like, I talk all the time about showing up in different ways. And it breaks my heart when people I care about have events going on and I just can't go because I want to show up for them. But you know what else? I almost said half, but I want to show up for my family.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be there with my kids. I have to show up for my kids because to me, that's essential.
Absolutely.
So, sorry I couldn't make it to your thing, but I'm showing up in other ways in my life. And when you do something that, like, I can show up to, I'll be there. But know that even if I can't be there at your thing, I can still show up in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can spread the word, or I can, you know, I can support you in whatever way. And I think that's another thing for people is that we don't always realize that showing up, sometimes it does mean just physically being there, but sometimes it just means finding a way to support.
It takes many forms.
Yes.
And it's okay to find a form that works for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your people are going to get that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah, I think it's important to identify the people who are willing to work with you in a way that, not work with you, but who are willing to accept you, mm-hmm. the version of you that puts your priorities first, and they get that your kids are going to come first. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like to say, like, I am forever, because did I sound like I had anything figured out? I so don't. But I like to say,
you've got,
like,
the gratitude thing.
I am forever. I'm forever writing checks that I can't cash
yes.
later. And I don't mean financial checks, people. I mean, like, the mental, emotional, social, whatever checkbook of life. Like, I'll be like, oh yes, I will go to this fundraiser, and I will go to this, and I will do this, and I will volunteer for this, and oh, by the way, I have a job, and oh wait, crap, all of these things, right? And people need to eat dinner. And you cannot do that to yourself. Like, you have to be more deliberate about what you will take on, mm-hmm. to your point, because you have to say, okay, these are the top tier priorities. So those go first, and then maybe schedule one event that week and nothing else, and because that's just all it will fit.
Yeah.
Well, so don't write a bunch of big checks that you can't cash, because then, you know what I do? I just shut down and nothing gets done.
Nothing gets done. But really cool moment. A few weeks, whatever, a month ago or whatever, I'm at an event and Lucy walks in and I'm like, oh, Lucy's here. So great. And we're there for a few minutes and Lucy's like, can I go? I'm like, okay, cool. And I, you know, we were talking later about it. And the whole thing was that I loved about it was, instead of going, I'm just going to gut this out, she's like, peace out, yo. Like, this is not for me tonight.
I wanted to be there. I wanted to support everything. But I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
This is not how I want to spend the next 90 minutes of my time. Because
exactly.
By doing so, I was saying no to being with my kids.
Yeah.
And my family and eating dinner with them that night. And that was my plan. But when I got there, I realized I prioritized this wrongly. I need to go home.
Yeah.
And so I did.
Right.
It was great. I felt free
huge.
To do that. And yeah, it's very freeing. The second you walk out the door when you're doing something like that, you're kind of like, woo, I'm doing me today.
Yes.
And it feels good.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of guilt about leaving, but it was okay.
No, it was okay.
It was erased by the time I got home and got to see my family and hang out with them.
So, right. Yeah. Okay. No, and it was really cool. And for me, I was like, it grants permission, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, to when you witness somebody else doing that, you're like, yeah, because it's okay. Because really, like, is this thing gonna fall apart tonight because people didn't get to meet me? Probably not.
I mean, super amazing.
Yeah.
However, I don't think so.
Yeah. So I had to acknowledge that moment because it was, for me, witnessing it, I was just like, yes.
Well, thanks. Thanks for being a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Pretty much what I am at this point.
Yeah.
Professional cheerleader.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks. Oh man. There's so much.
I know. We could go on.
We could.
Although we might need more drinks.
The water cups are getting empty. yeah, imagine us if we were actually, like,
drinking
alcohol together.
Okay,
gosh, this is us stone cold sober, guys.
We should totally do this again sometime with cocktails.
Can you even imagine? I don't think the world could handle that.
No, I don't. We can record it and then, like, never send it out into the universe.
There you go.
Just listen to it later and giggle.
Oh, my goodness. So much giggling.
Yeah.
I know you do a lot of camping and kayaking and backpacking and things like this.
I do. I love to do those things.
Yeah.
And fishing.
And fishing.
And
right,
fishing.
And fishing.
Because I fish now.
I love it.
I'm a fly fisherwoman.
Love it. Is this like a post-traumatic growth thing, or is this a Lucy's always done these things?
Lucy used to always do these things,
ah.
And Lucy stopped doing these things. Literally,
Did
I had
Did you read
not...
my post this morning?
No, I didn't! No!
That's too funny. My Tuesday tip. So I'm recording this on a Tuesday because mm-hmm. I record and then we put them out to the universe when they're ready. But my tip was do something that you love that you haven't done in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. Well, I will say that I don't do those things nearly as often as I wish that I did. And it's not hard to do around here. I mean, Reed's Lake is 3/4 of a mile away, mm-hmm. and I have a kayak in my garage. Like, it's not hard. But yeah, when we lived in Chicago, I just got so far away from doing stuff like that. And my brother and I used to backpack together when he lived out in Colorado, and we haven't done that in years. He lives in Florida now, less
backpacky.
Backpacky, yes, yeah. For sure. And also, like, I just hadn't backpacked since I got married. I hadn't really skied much. Like, I just had kind of stopped doing those things because I'm like, oh, well, I have kids and I do this and do that. But it's like you're taking part of the things that make you who you are and that bring you so much joy and just casting them away and putting them away. And it's like, no. So now I'm like, I'm going to do more of all of the things, right? Because I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do this. So it's great. We've started we camp as a family. But I took my daughter backpacking for the first time ever, which was amazing. And we went with some other friends who have daughters similar age. It was so fun. And, my sister and I went on a camping/fishing trip recently, and we realized I have an identical twin, and she's amazing. Like, you think I'm fun? No, she's, like, way more fun and brilliant. And obviously beautiful. No. But don't spit out your water.
Spit my water on the mic.
But, we realized, so she's also married. She has 2 kids. And a dog and some goldfish. No guinea pigs.
No guinea pigs.
Yeah, well, it's a missed bet. But anyway, you know, you get married, you like settle into this life, and it doesn't make room for the things that used to make you you. Mm. And so reconnecting with some of those things is something that I've done after having cancer and being sick and stuff like that. And it's like when I started singing in the church choir,
yeah.
Like that brings me so much joy. And my parents moved here now and they both sing in the church choir too. And it's super fun. So now we all geek out and sing in the church choir together. Awesome. And it's just, those are things that they enrich your life so much when you take some time to think about what you love to do.
Yeah.
So it's been great to be able to start doing some of those things again.
Yeah, so we, I was having like the end of summer kind of chat with the kiddos, and I was asking my oldest son, what was your favorite part of the summer? Or what were some of your favorites? Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to pick one, but like, what were some of your favorites?
End of summer chat, yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, well, and he said going to the Tigers game, which we did. That was our summer kickoff.
Very fun.
Super fun. Amazing weekend. Went with a friend and her daughter, and we had the 4 kids and the 2 of us and piled in the car, and the kids got to swim in the hotel pool, which makes everything right in the world again.
Yes. Hotel pools are pretty much like a godsend.
Yeah. And cool weekend. Totally get why that would be on the list. And then he said, and I got to watch you water ski. And I was like, what?
It's part of what makes mom, mom.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, it was really cool watching you water ski.
It was part of what makes mom, Susan.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, I was like, wow. Like, that's cool. Like, one of your favorite things this summer was watching me do something that I haven't done in ages that I love. Like, I really enjoy. But haven't had the opportunity to do in a long time and haven't made the opportunity to do it. But... yeah, like, that was pretty cool.
And did
I was
he elaborate like, at all?
No, he's just like, no, it was really cool. It was really fun to watch.
That's nice.
And
he
yeah.
probably saw, like, the joy in your face.
Yeah, that's it, man.
He saw a different side of you.
Yeah. Like, I got to be me, not just mom, right? Like, mm-hmm. I got to be Susan. But I think it was such a good reminder, right? Like, we get so caught up in, like, we have to do this, this, and this for our kids and, like, or this, this, and this in this role, whatever the role is, whether it's kid, or whether it's parent, partner, spouse, whatever it is, But at the end of the day, like, they want to see us for who we are. And that's the best thing I can show them. I can talk to them all day about, like, you need to show up for yourself and you need to be your authentic self. And, like, mm-hmm. my poor kids, I'm sorry, guys. Like, you know, like, embrace like who you are. Children. Right, right. Like, embrace who you are. Like, whatever, you know, just find what makes you happy. And, like, if people don't accept you, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, I can do that all day. But if they don't get to watch me, if they don't get to see me be who I am, yeah. None of that matters.
Yeah,
but in that moment where they get to see that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that was my, yeah, no, end of summer chat is kind of a thing.
Oh, okay. I gotta add that to my repertoire. That repertoire of parenting tools.
So that ends this part one. Don't forget to catch part two. And I can't wait for you to hear what's still to come. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Journeyers Podcast. To connect with me, your host, Susan Clark, check me out on Insta at HT Performance LLC. Email me at susan.clark@healthtrainingperformance.com, or just check out my website, healthtrainingperformance.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear about anybody you know who has an amazing story of resilience and authenticity. Have a great day.